Rick came to my wife this last week and said, "Sue, I have a hard time reading 3 chapters a day. Now, you got to understand, I'm challenging you to do that because that's what God's telling me to do, is to challenge you to read 3 chapters a day. But there may be times that you go to read. See, who was it that told me? Dudley. He said, "I can't even tell you," because he works, and in his work, he's in a little machine, and he's got a, I don't know how he does it, but anyway, whatever it is, whether it's a little thing that you put on your ear, or if he plays it through his thing, radio, whatever, the DVD thing, or whatever you call it, he said he basically listens to the Bible all day long. So he listens to like maybe dozens of chapters in the Word every day or something like that. I mean, maybe, you know, whatever it is, he listens to a lot of chapters every day in there. And he says, it doesn't matter how much I listen to. He says, every day I get one thing out of it. He said, it doesn't matter how much. Well, I'm saying that to say this, okay? It's not a matter of, did you read 3 chapters? It's a matter of, is it in your heart? And we're going to read this if you want to turn over to Proverbs chapter 2. Is it in your heart that you want to hear from God? Is it in your heart that you have got to hear from God? Okay? Well, I know it's in Rick's heart. But Rick has a reading disability or a problem or whatever. Okay, he can read it, but he doesn't like retain everything. Okay, well, you got to understand, we're not. This isn't like rules. You got to read 3 chapters a day. You're not right with God. It's not like that. It's like I'm challenging you. Now, some people are going to read more than that. See, like for me or Sue, we have to read more than that. I mean, we just. Okay, but there's times that God will give me one verse and I go all day and I don't read other. But normally He's like, I'm cross-referencing it all over the place, you know, like all these other verses, okay, and He takes me all over the place. But the point is that you read and you set yourself, the reason you want to do 3 chapters a day is because however old you are and you haven't, let's say you haven't read the Bible from cover to cover, okay, then it's high time. Every one of you said you wanted to do that. Well, here's how to do it. You read three and a half chapters a day, 1,189 chapters in the Word, and you will go through it in a year. Okay? It's a challenge. It's a goal. Okay? If you end up one day, you go to pick it up and you read it, and the very first verse, I call it eat your lunch. Grabs you and God's talking to you and you're like, I can't even seem to go anywhere else. All I could do is just meditate on this one word. That's where you need to stay. Okay? The way I memorized thousands of verses was because when I started reading the Bible, every time one jumped up off the page, I would write it on a 3x5 card and carry it around with me during the day. So any of those verses that jumped off the page, I would carry them around, and during the day I would meditate on them and I would pull them out, look at them, remind myself what it said again, as He led me. I might have 10, and maybe He would just say, "Harv, do this one," or maybe He would take me to different ones during the day as different things arose in my life and what I needed. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's God, it's there to give you what you need. It's hot, fresh manna. It's living word. God wants to give it to you. God wants to meet your need. You see, Jesus is God who became flesh, right? God who became flesh. What God wants for you and I is for God to become in us, to come in us, and for us to become the living Word of God. For us to become, let God, Jesus, live His life through us. For the Word of God to become flesh, or the Word of God to be living through us. Living epistles. Living letters from God. No one person can contain all of God. That's why He created, part of the reason He created billions of people to reflect His image. Okay? Of course, He created us for fellowship. But it's like my wife said she was teaching the women on whatever day that was. You could have friends, but one friend can't meet all your need. Right? So like, you get around Wayne and you get things from Wayne, but you get around Nate and God seems to minister to you in other ways. And you get around Gary and more things come in your life. We're not supposed to be little cliques. You know, I got this best friend and I just hang out with them all the time. And see, and then God wants to, once we get mature and grown up and fulfilled and get those things that we need, the healing we were talking about, the wholeness, the maturity. Once we get that, then what God wants to do is flow through us to other people. God wants to flow through us to other people. So I want you to understand, and I'm just basically using you as an example, and that is that I know you read every day. But you may not be reading three chapters a day. You may not be understanding, but you're going to understand what God gives you. And whatever He gives you, my suggestion is write it on a 3x5 card and carry it around with you. Do it word perfect so you're getting it, because sometimes when we go to write it down, we may leave something out that we needed to be there. We're not understanding it. We're not getting it. But then just carry it around with you. Okay? You see, it's not a matter of, you don't got to do everything the way I say to do it. It's not doing, we're not trying to become little Harveys. We want to become Christians. Right? So we want to let the Word of God dwell in us richly. Let it live inside of us. Okay? So, I just felt like God wanted me to double honor you. Okay? So, here we go. Okay? From Jesus. Okay? I don't know why He had me do that, but I felt like that's all I could think about this week. And I said, well, Lord, that could get quite expensive. And He said, whose money is it anyway? He gave it to me. He said, can I spend it any way I want, or do I just have 10%? I said, it's all yours. So is there anybody I missed? Hey, Grace, I'm so glad you're here. You know what? We've missed Grace. I want you to make sure that you give her a big hug and let her know that you love her. Okay? Yes? You do? That's it. I understand. And you know what? I have that. Because when I go to read it, I read it and I reread it, and if it like catches me, I'm reading through and all of a sudden there's a verse that catches me, and God will just, it's like I got to go back to it, and I got to go back to it, and I got to go back to it, and I keep rereading it. Sometimes I might read it 20 times, and then it's like I got it. It's like God just gives it to me, and then I go on, because it's not just, you know, who gets to the end first wins. You know, I've had people do that. I read my three chapters. What did you get out of it? Get anything out of it? I did my three chapters. I'm sorry. This isn't like, you know, we're collecting S&H green stamps here. Okay? This is like we're giving God an opportunity to talk to us. I just watched an old movie last night that had S&H green stamps. I know, don't even know it. Don't worry about it, don't worry about it. Trading stamp, y'all don't even know what that is. When I was a kid, my mom made me lick all those. We used to get sponges and wet them and put them and fill the pages and then turn in the books and buy stuff. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, probably. But who cares? Okay, it's okay. You can check out the video if you even care. All right. Let me ask you a question about reading the Bible. Let me ask you a question. Would it change your life any if this book was taken away from you. There's some that didn't answer, and I'm just asking you each one, and let me tell you why. Our freedoms are being taken away by the inch. For 20 years, when I go to do tubs, I would go in people's homes, and I would remove the flipper switch, the overflow underneath the faucet on the side of the tub, you know what I'm talking about? Keeps water in. It's called an overflow, so that if your water gets too high, like my wife does, it goes out instead of running over the top. Because my wife likes to have it all the way to the top. Okay? So what you have to do is you have to take the overflow and you switch it up so that the vent is on top and they can get about 4 more inches of water. I've learned that trick. Okay? But my point is, I used to take that out. I used to take the drain cover off to catch the hair. The state of Michigan a year ago told me, I've been doing it for 20 years, thousands of homes. The state of Michigan told me a year ago, if we catch you doing it, I got this in contact with the state of Michigan and got a whole lot more business or whatever, exposure or whatever. And they said, if we catch you doing that, we will fine you a lot of money because you are not a certified plumber. I said, it's a screwdriver for crying out loud. I'm just helping people like little old ladies. They said, then you have to become a certified plumber to do that. Taken away, you know, it's like when I was a kid, they had, what do you call those things, seat belts? Yeah. No. Yeah. Right next to where you put the reins, over on the edge. Yeah, you just hung them on the curtain behind you, you know, the thing on the wagon, you know? Dude. So anyway, when I was a kid, you used to be able, they had it in there for your safety. Now, it's a law, you have to wear it. It's like, more and more our freedoms are being taken away. Anyway, I just wondered, would it change your life any if this book was taken away from you? Are you in Proverbs chapter 2? Okay, let's read Proverbs chapter 2 together if we can. And we're going to start with the first 5 verses. And am I supposed to do it that way, Lord? Or you want to do the... Okay, hang on a second. Okay. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. Basically, wait a minute, I'm supposed to do this first. Is there anybody I missed? Some of you read your Bible every day, and I missed you. Anybody? Just supposed to make sure everybody got blessed. God wants to bless. What? Somebody talking? Okay. You have anything to say? Okay. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, God talking to us, if we will receive His words and hide His commandments with thee. How do you receive His words? How do you hide His commandments with you? Very good. Let's make it real simple, okay? Receive. How about just listen? That means you've got to give God an opportunity to talk. Somebody I was talking to this week said to me, could we have a dialogue instead of a monologue? And I said, I'm not good at that. God is, but I'm not. I've been practicing. But I said, I'm used to just doing the talking, you know, and other people listening. But see, God wants to talk. Are we letting Him talk to us? How often? We say we want to hear Him. What, we want somebody else to give us a word from God? What have we done with the last one we got? Okay? So real simple. Receive His word. Listen. Give Him an opportunity. Open the book. Let Him speak to you. Hide His word. How do you do that? How about think about it? If you start thinking about it, it'll get in you. Just think about it. Okay? Meditate on it. And even more, if you want to go to the advanced level, do what Grace said back there and obey. Follow. Do what it says. Be doers, not just hearers. Verse 2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. See, when God speaks, it's wisdom. And apply thine heart to understanding. You're going to get understanding. Have you ever wanted to ask God why something? You'll understand if you do what He's saying. You will understand. You may not understand right this minute, because He doesn't normally answer why the way we want it answered. Okay? He doesn't normally answer why the way we want it answered. Why? Why this? Why that? See, He's not at your beck and call. Okay? But you will understand if you submit. Is that in the Word? Man, I'm glad y'all asked. John chapter 7, verse 17. If any man will do, obey His will, then he shall know. Then he's going to understand. It goes on to say, then he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Hosea, John 7:17. But you see, we want God to tell us, and then we'll make up our decision if we're going to do it or not. He's got this sneaking idea He's God, and He gets to run things. So if we will submit, the verse that you really need to have is James 4, 7 and 8. We talked about a verse at the beginning of the year, James 1, 22. And now the verse for the second half of the year, if you don't already have it, hadn't picked it up recently, James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. I submit myself to You. I submit myself to Your authority. I submit myself to Your control. I submit myself to Your way. I submit myself to You. Submit means complete yieldedness. Not conditional yieldedness. Not submit when you like it. Not submit when it's comfortable, and not submit when it fits into what you think is right or wrong. Submit yourselves therefore to God. I bring myself under the blood of Jesus. I don't even know how to explain that. But that little phrase there, those two little phrases, God's been having me for several weeks. As things come at me, thoughts I don't want, songs I don't want, okay? Things in front of my eyes that I don't want. God keeps having me go. I submit myself to You, God. I bring myself under Your control and authority, and I bring myself under the blood of Jesus. Nobody but a Christ follower would say that. Nobody else. And it has made such a miraculous change. It's unreal. Verse 2. So that thou incline thine ear, receive my words, hide my commandments, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if you really want it, not just saying you want it, but He's telling us how to do it. Read the Word. Think about what it's saying. Meditate on it. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. We think of treasures in monetary tones. There's a whole lot more treasures that are more important than that. Money will come and go. Money is just a tool. Money is not happiness. Oh, give me more and let me just see if it is or not. Let me make up my own mind, you know. It's a whole lot easier to be unhappy with a lot than unhappy with little. I'm going to let you know. I'm not talking right now. You can save it to the end. I'm not taking comments all the way through this, okay? Thank you. That's why we have fellowship afterwards and before, okay? All right. Or you can write it down. We'll talk about it later. I'm going to let you know, it's a whole lot easier to live without money than with money. Because when you have it, then Now you're responsible for what you do with it. And you see, if you think 10% and God dealing with you about that is something, what about when He tells you that 100% of His of it is His? Okay? And then He wants you to give it in places that you aren't thinking. You're thinking He's making a mistake. And there's a whole lot more to have to deal with. When we didn't know where our next meal was coming from, we just had to trust God. And He just kept bringing it in, and there was all these miracles. When we have enough, then it's like, now we got to figure out what all, and then there's more expenses, like this house. It's like, God, why do you want this house? Let's just move in a little two-bedroom apartment. We don't care about this house, you know? I mean, we're thankful, but we don't care. It's not what we're living for. But when you have it, there's more responsibility. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding or knowledge, if thou seekest her, are you seeking God as silver and searching for her as for hid treasures? I told you about the story one time where I had a birthday present for Sue and I hid it in the house. Did I ever tell you all that story? You remember that story? Sue can't handle not knowing things. She's got this curious bone that must just be this real big bone from her toes to her head. Me, I don't care. She buys me a present in June, puts it in a paper bag, just does like that with a paper bag and puts it on my dresser. She tells me it's a Christmas present. I never even touch the bag until Christmas morning, because I don't believe in opening Christmas presents before Christmas morning. Not Christmas Eve. Not all this other times that everybody wants to do it, you know, 2 months in advance, because, oh, well, just don't make them wait. You know, I like Christmas morning. My wife, it drives her crazy. So she buys me presents, puts them on my dresser, and makes it, and even opens the bag as time goes on. Harv, did you notice? I go, yep, Christmas morning, I'll see what's in it. I told my wife one time I bought her a present. It was for her birthday. It was the day before her birthday. I'd already let her know it was in the house, just to tease her a little bit, you know. Just a little bit. And so I put it in the house, right? Harvey, where is it? I said, you'll get it on your birthday. You get it on your birthday, you know. So she tried. But the day before, all the kids are there, and she goes, Harvey, where is that present? She starts asking questions. So I think about it. I said, I'll tell you what. I'll give you 30 minutes. I'll give you some clues. I'll answer your questions, and then I'll give you 30 minutes. If you can find it within 30 minutes, you can open it. But if you can't find it within 30 minutes, you have to wait till tomorrow. She said, okay. The kids are like jumping up and down like popcorn. Okay. She asked some questions. You know, upstairs, down. I said, it's on one of them. I didn't tell her I was going to answer all her questions. I wasn't going to tell her where it was. You know, how big is it? I said, well, you have to give me some different things. Is it bigger than bread box? Yes. Is it as big as a stove? No. So whatever, you know, whatever she said. My wife, little Miss Pastor Sue, is running around that house. Have you ever seen a chicken with its head cut off? Have you ever seen a little kid at Christmas? But if you've ever seen a chicken with its head cut off, that's what she looked like. She was running through the house, like this, running. I mean, just tearing the house apart, trying to find this present. We got down to about 28 minutes, and she found it finally. You know, but the kids, they're like a herd, you know, of little munchkins, and they're running after her, and they're squealing, and there's all this going on. For 30 minutes, the house is pandemonium. It was fun. I was sure they wouldn't find it. She found it. I don't remember, but I see our kids, that was the house that my son used to take his dirty clothes and put them in the trash packer downstairs and then compress the clothes. You know? So maybe, I don't know if I put it there, but yeah, that was the house that we had a lot of memories about. You know, I remember, you know, his bed grew from a twin to a queen. Because Sue told him to go, he wanted to go out, it was a Friday, and he went to go with his buddies from the high school, and she said, you have to clean your room, you know, because it doesn't look like anybody's been there since the Dark Ages. And so he went in there, and he came out like in a short period of time, and there's no way any of you women could have got done in that amount of time. And we knew him, and he's the one who put the clothes in the trash packer, okay? And whatever that thing, you know what I'm talking about, compactor thing. So we go in there, and he says, he comes out, I mean like in just 15, 20 minutes, and says, the room's clean. So Sue walks in there and says, and the room looks clean. And she's going, something's not right here. And she looks at the bed, and she said, Jim, where's your laundry? He said, it's taken care of. Where is it, Jim? And he's not answering. So she's looking around, and she looks at the bed, and she said, something's not right here. He had taken all the clothes, pulled the bed out from the wall, pushed them down, and they filled the whole slot between the bed and the wall. And then he took the, whatever you call that thing, the spread, you know, and he spread it over, and it looked like it was like a queen-size bed. Of course, we knew he only had a twin. But so we had interesting things in that house, you know. Proverbs chapter 2. Oh, what are we doing? Oh, are you, what if I told you, you know, like when we had Easter and the kids go and they search for the eggs? Well, what if I told you there was $1,000 and the first one to find it, it's hidden in the house. And you can't go in a room that's locked. And there's two of those. But apart from that, you could have it if you find it. It's on the property or in the house. Would you just sit here? If I said go, what do you think it would look like? Pandemonium. Well, I'm just asking you. We're talking about the treasures of life. We're talking about what you need to have the marriage, the kids. See, your kids are going to grow up one way or the other, but when they grow up, who are they going to serve? What are going to be their choices? Just because you keep them and whatever, what choices are they making in their own heart right now? Are you dealing with rules or are you dealing with relationship? What about in your own marriage? What about at work? Are you like so many that you just hate your job every day you go to it? Or have you learned the secret? That wherever you go, it's as worship unto Him. That you bloom where you're planted. That's where God has you to be. And it's for you, not against you. Do you understand? Are you with me? God has treasures. That's what it's talking about here in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. If you want to write down a cross reference, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally or freely, and upbraideth not, doesn't stick his nose up at anybody, and it shall be given him. Ask, and it shall be given him. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. I don't know what to do. Does God? Then ask him. Wait for the answer. He will give it. He's faithful. Have you ever read over in Matthew 7, 7 and 8, or do you remember where it says, ask and it shall be given you? Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Did you ever notice the next verse? I love the next verse. It says, everyone that asketh receiveth. Everyone that asketh receiveth. I love that. Anyway, let's keep going. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler, a shield, a protector to them that walk uprightly. He's giving you treasure right now in these verses. Treasures. treasure how to live above the circumstances instead of the circumstances being bigger than your God. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserves the way of His saints. He says, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, I can't come in His house till He opens it. Do you understand? Is God knocking on your heart? Are you opening it? When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. There's times where right now you might be able to read 3 chapters a day, or you might be in a place where you could read 10 chapters a day. Or you could be like Glenn coming home to a wife who took all the notes that she's been getting at church and God's been giving her and had them spread all over the living room and trying to write them all and condense them all and put it together. You might have the time to do that right now, or you might be in a place maybe where Wayne is. I don't know that Wayne's there, but I'm just going to use Wayne because it keeps coming to my mind. That maybe you're in a place like where Wayne is, where he's real busy and he doesn't have that time that he wants to spend to go spend in the Word. But he has a deposit of what he's taken in through the years. And see, I know he has a deposit because when I listen to Wayne talk, I'd rather listen to him than E.F. Hutton. When he talks, I hear wisdom come out of him. I hear God truth, God life come out of him. It doesn't mean he knows everything or whatever. What it means is that there has been a time in Wayne's life where he was faithful and he took in and he had it. And it's like an armament. It's tools. A tool bag. And now he's walking through life and he has discretion. And he has righteousness. And he's obedient. And he's yielding. And he's, do you understand? And he's a pillar. And yet he may not be spending as much time as he would like. Do you understand? It's getting this inside of us. I don't know how to tell you this again, but I'm just going to say it again, okay? It goes like this. It's coming where what I see in every one of you, or many of you, I see you being a leader of a lot of people. Every one of you, that's what God's wanting to do. There may be 100, you may have 1,000. You may have 5,000 and you can't even comprehend that. Because the majority out there don't walk with God, don't know God. Even ones that call themselves Christians, just start asking them a few questions and find out where they are. My son asked me about, somebody asked me about going to a church, and I said, yeah, that's a good church. And what I felt like God had me say to him was, you're going to find they're a lot more shallow than we are, but they love God. That's the level they're at. That's the level they live. There's people there that are deeper, all kinds of levels. But overall, the church is more shallow. It's more of a social church. Okay? And yet they love God. Well, when people are needing to, when all the things happen that are coming in America, and they don't know how to live. They don't know how to make it. They can't depend on Uncle Sam anymore. It's like leaning on a bruised reed, I would think. What I'm saying is they don't have some place to fall back on, and now all of a sudden there are no jobs and there is no food. Where are they going to turn? to somebody who wants to play patty cake in church and we're all surface and, oh, I love Jesus. Or is it going to be people who know their God and know how to depend on God and know how to trust in God? See, that's why you're going through what you're going through, because God is developing character. He's teaching you to trust in Him, not trust in yourselves. Do you understand? There are many souls that are dependent on you and what you're doing today with what you're hearing. There are many souls that need Christ in you. I hope you hear God. Proverbs chapter 2. Where were we? Verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee. See, it's like Wayne already having this deposit in him. And then as Wayne's walking on, I'm finding discretion in his life, let's say, because of what he's already taken in. It's not because every single day Wayne is reading 3 chapters or 10 chapters and memorizing 3 verses a day or something like that. But there's a time that Wayne was. But what Wayne is doing is he's got this real relationship with God moment by moment every day. And it's going to be different as you go. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. See, things are going to come in your life and you're not going to have time to go figure it out. You can't just be calling Sue and I and saying, what do I do in this situation? These things are going to deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward or ungodly things, who leave the paths of uprightness. See, a lot of people want to explain away or water down things. Like somebody was just relating me a story and saying, oh, well, the Hebrew doesn't really say that, the Greek doesn't. And then he turns to it and says, well, here it is right there. How do you miss that? Because they want to just use those words to express their opinion, and they're not even true according, but they sound educated. Oh, the Greek doesn't say that. Really? And he looks it up and says, well, here it says it right there. And the guy just has to shut his mouth because he was just saying that to look cool. He was saying that to sound educated. This is the Word of God. Is there anybody in this room that speaks Greek fluently? Or Koine Greek, because there's nobody in the world that does. Is there anybody that's... It's a dead language now. It's not a used language. But what about Hebrew? I mean, I know a little Hebrew. It's about that big. But I don't speak it fluently. Do you speak English? I know it's northern, but do you speak English? That's what He gave you. It's a preserved Word of God. Take it. It's for you. English speaking. You don't need to try to explain away or everything. What does it say? He said what He means. He means what He says. It's so simple. Proverbs 2. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. That word froward means to turn aside. To deliver thee. It says these words will deliver you from the evil man and they're going to deliver you from the strange woman. Why do they call her a strange woman? Because she's strange to the way of truth. She's strange to the way of God. Even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. I don't know how to say this. It's not in my notes. It's just free. My wife said, you men, talking to me, she said, you men are dumb. She said, you men are the dumbest sheep. Of all the sheep, you're the dumbest sheep. I don't know how she said it exactly. But basically, it was, she said, you have something to do with a woman. All she's got to do is cry a little and your natural instinct is want to be her hero. You're not supposed to be every woman's hero. All she's got to do is have a problem and bat her little eyelids. And that's why it says in Proverbs, she taketh thee with her eyelids. Read Proverbs chapters 1 through 6. See what I'm talking about. Maybe it's 1 through 7. Be careful to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth. What does that mean? I'm not saying Abby's doing this. I'm just trying to use her as an illustration. We could use Kate, but let's use Abby. Abby, who forsakes the guide of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. She's brought up in a house where the parents love God. She's taught about God. But what she does is, as she gets older, instead of following the guide of her youth, the authorities, the leaders that God has placed in her life, she forsakes them to follow. What does she follow? There's three enemies. Do you remember what they are? 1 John 2:15 through 17. She said it. She said it. The world, the flesh, and the devil. That's who she follows. Why? Because she forsakes them. She turns away from them. She's not careful to guard what they say and to keep it in her heart that would keep her in the way. I know as we become teenagers or young people, we think we can't believe how dumb the grown-ups are. But it's amazing when you move out on your own, all of a sudden they get real smart overnight. And all of a sudden things that they've been saying, like ding, 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 like lights are like popping all around you, and you're going, wow, it's not like what I thought when I was at home and they paid all the bills and just did everything. And now I understand why they say to go to bed at night. You know? Because I'm so dumb and stay up too late and don't do good at work. You know? Okay, I didn't say you didn't. That's why I was just picking on you, because I know you're perfect. I just was hoping somebody else would get it when I was talking to you. Okay. But anyway... You know what I'm saying? I can remember when I met Sue and I'm going to get married, all of a sudden my parents got like way smarter, like immediately, overnight, because I was going to take on a wife and four kids. And all of a sudden it made me think different. And I could not believe how smart my parents got, because they were so dumb before that. When I was a teenager, I thought, why don't they let me run the world? I'm a lot smarter than the rest of them. I wouldn't do what they all did. And if we're honest, all of us have thought that. And a lot of us still act like that. Proverbs 2. Who forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. We make a covenant. We make an agreement with God. And then we forget it. Because we get caught up in our own life. We get caught up in what we're doing, what we want. Three enemies you have: what I think, what I feel, what I want. What I think, what I feel, and what I want. Just ask yourself, if you ever find yourself having a strong tendency to go in a direction, ask yourself those three questions. Is this about what I think, what I feel, what I want? Then it's not about Jesus, is it? And it's not about others. That means it's all about me. Is it all about me? I know the world revolves around the sun, but is that what they mean? The world revolves around me? Because I'm a sun? Sorry, just throwing it out there. You can throw it away if you need to. Verse 18. For her house, what's the end of this person? Her house inclines unto death. Life is not coming out of her life. You watch it. People around her, it's hurting you. Because if you love God, then you love others, and you watch their life inclining unto death. Their choices they're making, and it grieves your heart. It breaks your heart. I wonder how God can be God and go with all that we go through. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead, the way she chooses. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. I'm just saying this again, because it's right here. I don't believe in dating. Please be careful. I told people if they insist they're going to date, I said, would you marry this person? Well, I just want to date them. I didn't ask that. Would you marry them? Because if you get involved, you might get emotionally involved and you get entangled and you end up having to marry this person. You want to be married to this person? Do they love God? Because if they don't love God, they're not going to love you. They might be infatuated with you right now, impressed by your muscular physique. That's what Sue got carried away with. Okay, but serious. Look, we got to throw humor in. Do you want me to come give you CPR? Okay, now, right. That's right, that's it. My beach ball. That way. Okay. I'm just saying, if even as an adult, you're single, and you're thinking, hey, I met somebody, put yourself, before that ever happens, put yourself under the authority of God and say, God, I am going to set up accountability partners that have my best interests, that love God, love me, and would tell me the truth. And before I get emotionally involved, not once you've already made up your mind, people come to us and say, we're going to get married. And we look at them and go, are you sure? You know? And we ask both of them. You have to do it in a nice way because you don't want to hurt them, you know? And you just say, are you sure? But they've already made up their mind. You have to deal with them differently because they've already made up their mind. Some of them have come to us and said that, and we talk to them and are able to help deliver them from a life of woe. Some of them have listened. A lot of them don't. My point is, you set up safeguards before. And before you become involved with somebody of the opposite sex, introduce them to whoever your accountability partners are and realize God gives you authorities to protect you. I know you think they're just trying to restrict you because they don't want you to have any fun, like mom and dad. They don't want you to have any... Harvey doesn't want you to have any fun. He just, all he wants you to do is read your Bible all day, right? I know some of you almost think that. I mean, the way sometimes I get responses, you know. It's not that. But I care about your life. I care about where you're going to go. And I ask God. Janiyah had them flying in from around the country to come marry her because she'd do that Christian chat thing and they all fell in love with her, you know. And so we let a few of them fly here. We discouraged most of them by coming up with a question list that they didn't want to answer because they're grown-ups. They don't need to answer anything. Then she said, I'm glad she was wise enough to say that I know you're not the one because you're not under authority. You're rebelling at authority. You won't even answer my dad's questionnaire, which, of course, third degree to the max. But I told her, do you want to marry a man or a mouse? If he can't stand up to me, he can't stand up to you, honey. So, I mean, it's that simple, you know. But we weeded a whole bunch of them out. But the ones that did fly here, I remember this one, he gingerly got off the plane, and as he walked up, I think he was flying just above the ground, and as he walked up, and I said, I will pray. And Janiyah's like, oh, this is the one. And I'm like, no, not. But anyway, he answered my questionnaire. We did all that. Okay, fine. Give the guy a chance. Look, it's not my opinion. I told God, God, I may not see what you see. I said, but God, I need to know because my wife and my daughter, I don't know how to explain, but during this courtship thing, everybody goes wacky. Okay, I mean, they just all think with their emotions and stuff, and everybody's all feely-feely, and it's like you throw the whole Bible away or something. I don't know, your whole life. Everything's all feely-feely. You got to protect yourself, I'm telling you. That's what I'm trying to tell you, because I care. But I'm telling you for your kids too, because I care. I care for the long run. And I prayed, and God told me, about 5 minutes later, God said, no. I said, God, is that just me? Because, He kind of floated in here. And is that me? And He goes, absolutely not. He said, this is not the one for Janiyah. So I waited, and 15, 20 minutes later, I kept, it's like God was going, no, absolutely no. Shut down no, make it perfectly clear. And of course, He was going to spend several days here, So now I have to go and I'm supposed to tell Janiyah. How do you do that? Because
He's the one.
He's one. So I went and I told Sue, because she can fix it, and tell her a little gentler, or whatever the word is. And of course, Sue's like, are you sure? And I'm like, I am hearing absolutely not. And I said, I laid it all down. I said, I know. And I said, I know I'm hearing from God. And I think there was at least three of them that flew here from different parts of the country. And that was God's answer every time to each one. And I was open. One of them, we took to Disney World with us. We were going to Disney World. And they already had it planned up. I got roped into that somehow to pay this guy's trip to Disney World or something, And oh my word, what a thing. Where's Gary? Gear, tell him it's 12:30. Okay. I'm just saying, be careful, okay? Because we care about your life. We care about helping you for the rest of your life. In chapter 2, verse 19, listen to this. None that go unto her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. What do you think that means? Somebody else tell me. What does that mean? None that go unto her return again. They're drawn away from God. They're drawn away from the guide of their youth. They're drawn away from that other, how the rest of that verse say, they forget the covenant of their God. Because they're living out of their emotions. There's nothing wrong with emotions. I don't say to Sue, hi, good day, good morning, I love you. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. I don't do that. I put a double lip lock on her. I hold her like she can't breathe. Okay? Sometimes I get a hold of her like skin. I'm emotional. But that's not where we're supposed to live. We make mistakes there. You understand? We need to be led of the Holy Spirit. Not led by our reasoning. Not led by our emotions. Led by the Holy Spirit. What does God say? What does God say? If you're looking God eyeball to eyeball, could you have peace? Can you just picture in your mind, I'm looking God, eyeball to eyeball. Can you have peace with that decision? Can you have peace with that choice? Can you have peace with what you're saying or the way you're acting? But. We're not goats, we're sheep. We need to follow. You want to live with peace. That's where I'm trying to, all the time, it's about helping you to live with peace. What does it mean? None that go unto her return again. What does that mean? That's exactly what it means. That's exactly. What else? He said it pulls you away from God. Would you agree with that? What else? None that go unto her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. I deal with women every day. I get sometimes up to 300 calls a day. I deal with women all the time. The man doesn't want the tub glazed. What's wrong with it? It works. The woman's like,
can't you see? It's pink or it's dull and we have to clean it every day. It doesn't even look like it's clean.
And the man's like, what's wrong with it? It works. The water goes out. It stays in when we push the little thing. See, men are functional. It works. Leave it alone. Woman is cosmetic.
Does it look pretty? Oh, does it go with everything else in the bathroom?
I tell the men, guy, if it wasn't for the women, we'd be living in a tree or a cave somewhere. Because we really don't care. What do you want, wife? Do you want to be right? Or do you want to be happy? Because you make them happy and then your life can be happy. You can be right, but you don't got to say it. Keep your mouth shut. Okay? Make her happy. Anybody married that doesn't know what I'm talking about? Anybody been married doesn't know what I'm talking about? It's right in Proverbs. I didn't make it up. Okay. That's right. See? None that go under her return again. Okay? Neither take thee hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Okay, just hold that thought, okay? Hold the thought. You can write it down if you want. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect, the spiritually mature, shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. Sticking in a little spade and getting out not just the plant, but the whole person. Everything they think they're rooted in. Rooted out of it. No place. Folks, we've got Jesus. We've got truth. We've got Jesus' truth. Eternal truth. It gives us peace. It teaches us the ways of life, how to live. And there are people all around us. What if the lady that came to my door this past Monday, what if I'd have sent her to your house? How would you have responded? Let me tell you, a lady came to my house this Monday. Remember Deborah? Deborah and Thornell? Well, when we had the building, this lady named Sabala, she only came one time. I don't know if you remember her. Sabala. Vitamin C. Okay. Now, she didn't know how to find us. So she got a hold of Deborah. Made Deborah real uncomfortable. So Deborah brought her here. Dave Richards had just called me and said, I'll be there in 2 minutes to drop off paperwork. And then about 2 minutes later, I hear a knock on the door and I think, what's he knocking on the door for? Come in! All of a sudden, here comes two women traipsing in my house. Wait a minute! So I jump up and I run over there. And it's Deborah. So I give her a hug and said, hey, what you doing? She said, well, actually, I was bringing her. And the lady said, you remember me? I go, no. Well, I came to your building when y'all had a building, and she said, my husband had lost his driver's license, and they said he wasn't going to get it back. And you and your wife prayed for me, and she said, real shortly after, my husband got his license back, and it was a miracle, and I've never forgotten it. But see, she had... Anyway, so, I said, so, you need prayer? And she goes, actually, a friend of mine needs prayer. And I said, okay, what's the story? She said, her daughter is 2 years old. She's in the hospital. We said, what is she in there for? Well, she's talking, but we didn't really know what she was saying because she really didn't know how to explain it. Long story short, she said, she's going to be there. How long is she there or something, or going to be there? And they said, for another month or two. We're thinking, a month or two in the hospital? Something's not right here. So would you like us to pray? And I'm thinking, we'll just pray for her and they'll leave and that's it. She said, well, actually, I'd like you to pray, but would you come to the hospital and pray? Well, I couldn't go just by myself, so it was up to Sue, and I looked at Sue, and Sue goes, yep, I think it's God. So you were with us, right? So DBJ was with us. So we took off and went to the hospital. So we get up to the hospital. There's this two-year-old laying in the hospital. When you go in, you have to put on gowns and whatever, all that stuff, and get badged and all that stuff. So we go in there, and they've got all these nurses and people, and they're all around. And they kind of backed up to let us do what we're doing, but they're like, they're all staring at us, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing? And are you going to be weird? And whatever. I don't know what they're thinking, but it just, that's what it was like. What if this lady would have come to your house? What would you do? Would you be like most churches and tell them to go see the preacher? You see what I'm saying? People are going to come, and this is only the beginning. And they're going to flood you. What are you going to give them? You see, I look at some of your faces right now, and it's not working. You're going through stuff. Well, if you can't even handle what's going on in your life, how are you going to help others? We're trying to help you with your life and get these things as foundational truths and break an agreement with things that are not of God that are in you, you're in agreement with, and helping you to make choices. And it all starts with you wanting to spend time with Jesus every day. You wanting Him, needing Him more than $1,000. That could have $1,000 and it could be gone in no time. But if I got Jesus, if I need $1,000, He'll give it to me. If I don't need it, it's just a need. It's just a want. You understand? And sometimes He just gives me what I want. Just because He loves me. Just because He can't even help Himself. But I need Him. Please go and read Proverbs 2. Meditate on it. Ask God to help you own it. Make it alive in here. So you've heard it. Maybe now you'll receive it. But when you receive it, it only is the start of a process, because now you're giving God permission to come and start bringing to the surface all the lies and wrong thinking that you have inside of you. And now you have to make a choice. As each one comes up, am I going to believe what the Word says or believe what I think, what I feel, what somebody else said? You understand? Well, I've always believed this. Well, my dad said this. Does that make it right? I've told you it's not right because I say it. It's right because God says it. That's why when some of you say, you're right, and I always say, no, God's right. I just happen to be in agreement this time. I'm not right. I'm always wrong. God's always right. When we start trusting ourselves, that's when we mess up.